That is right. Behind the bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this Friday afternoon. Happy Friday to everyone who is out there. November 14th, the date on our calendar as we get closer and closer to the end of the year here. Happy Friday, everyone who's out there. Happy Friday, playoff football Friday for those who are going out to the playoff games. Hopefully you're staying dry and making the best plans you possibly can to be okay out there. Safe driving, all of that stuff out there on the highways, freeways, all that where you're getting to in terms of high school football. Should be a fun night of high school football tonight. Of course, we got one of the many games that are going on around the central section tonight. Clovis and Clovis West. A battle in the one division AA playoffs. Of course, winner will go on to take either Central East and Buchanan next week for the one AA championship, which you can hear on 1430 ESPN. Big thanks to Tony D for tossing it to us in the previous hour. Tony D Show, the Sports Line Bulldog Hour. Tony D from 2 to 3 p.m. on the weekdays here on 1430 ESPN Fresno.com website and on the ESPN Fresno app, which you can download right here on your iPhone and Android devices, wherever you find them. Tony D Show, Sportsline Bulldog Hour, Tony D from 2 to 3 on weekdays. You have my show, Behind the Bench, from 3 to 6 p.m. on the weekdays as well. And you also have Palmetto's show, the Central Valley Sports Report, which is live 10 a.m. to noon on Saturdays from First String Sports, live there on those Saturdays. Good to be here. Like you said, the Lee's Air Hotline is sponsored by Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating and Roofing. It is 559-320-1430, the way to reach our show. 559-320-1430, the way to reach our show here. Lee's Air Weather Check, sitting at 61 degrees. It's been raining all day so far through the midday and to early afternoon. Looking like we may have a let-up in the precip for the afternoon evening side. I'm not making any promises, but we could be, I would say, dry from the skies, at least, during the football tonight. Could see the rain pick up later in the evening, potentially, according to my indicators, around midnight tonight. You'll get the rain back going here in the Central Valley, a little bit overnight drizzle. And then we might get the rain again for sure on Saturday, which, of course, means a lot when it comes to what we have facing us with Fresno State football. Rain possibilities very, very likely for the Saturday night kickoff at 7:30 at Bulldog Stadium. So plan accordingly to the weekend here. Rain over the next 4 days, it looks like, until we get to midweek next week. And then we will be living in the high 50s for the foreseeable future as winter is here in California and here in the Central Valley. Good to be here. Good to be alongside our crew today. We got a good show for you. It's a Friday show, which means we're setting you up for the sports weekend, getting you all ready, what you want to be looking out for, what you want to be paying attention to, and what we've got to talk about today. We've got Paul Menters joining us in the second hour, of course. Paul visiting with us, as we always do with him, talking about all the big games around the central area, all the playoff conversation. We'll have that at 4 o'clock right on the
hour there, along with all the other things we do on this show. The Bonatti Blitz, of course, we're picking all the Week 11 games here for the NFL. We'll talk Fresno State football. One last thought on that. We'll do some picks around the Mountain West as well. And we'll wrap it up. What are we watching this weekend? All of that great stuff as we move into the weekend here, a rainy, wet weekend here in the Central Valley. It is good to be joined by a producer crew that isn't normally together, and I'm surprised we're being civil in there, judging by some of the trash talk I've been hearing over the last week or so. At least the first shot was fired by the Chloe Sergio contingent, but we got Chloe and Tanvir behind the glass today. Guys, if I need to separate you, let me know. How are we doing on this Friday?
Hey, it's all good, you know. I had to come in and make this crew a little bit better. And so I think this is the best duo that we have out here. Wow. I don't know what he will say. But yeah, We'll see by season's end who's
okay.
there.
All right.
What I'm hearing is that I carry the groups.
Oh, okay.
I make it amazing.
Sure.
But no, we're doing good. Yeah, I'm excited for the show. I mean, Tavian was like the first other intern that I worked with.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
It has been a minute, though, since we've had this duo.
I know. It's been a minute. We'll see where the flow goes here in terms of what we're talking about. And, of course, we got to go to the top sports story brought to you by Valley Pure from today and from yesterday, necessarily. And before we get into anything that we're looking and projecting, which usually this show is about looking ahead and looking at what we're paying attention to for Saturday, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, all of those things, we have to stop down and talk about just monumentally what historic things have been going on with a certain athlete who has played here in the Central Valley, and yet another MLB MVP, American League MVP, going to Aaron Judge yesterday. That was officially announced, and he is your MVP back-to-back seasons, his third MVP award, and the baseball writers, he got the most first-place votes. It was really between him and Cal, clearly. And we can go on to the undercard side of things if we want to. But I think this is obviously, we all know the greatness of what Aaron Judge has been and what he has represented as a baseball player that's come out of the Central Valley from the Bulldogs in every perspective. And I think it's safe to argue that he is the greatest Valley to play in this, or greatest player, athlete to maybe play out of this Central Valley. I think that is now maybe firmly reaffirmed now with his win, MVP win from last night. And where the heights can go for him is a question that I think we can now project moving forward with, is how many more MVPs are out there for Aaron Judge. We talked about it with Shohei yesterday because we had a little more time afforded to it. But it is quite remarkable to sit here and look back and wonder how many teams passed up him and what he was as a baseball player to where he is now, and basically becoming the Barry Bonds 2.0 that we maybe thought he could be, and now he basically has become for the New York Yankees. He is the large, outside of Shohei Ohtani, he is the other global superstar in this league. It is two players going at it, 1v1. I don't know if we've had, I'm trying to think of leagues where we've had two guys like this in the league, other leagues at the same time. I'm like trying, like two all-time greats. Like there's one that's always kind of beaten the other, if we think of other phases of it. And maybe that's an interesting question to go into towards the tail end of this segment. But initial reaction to this is the Fresno people, the Bulldog people, Fresno State side of things, Aaron Judge fans, people from his area, people who've represented him, people who've backed him for the years and years to come. It is satisfying to see this win yesterday. No discredit to what Cal Raleigh did this past season, but it is quite remarkable to think that even with 60 home runs hit by a player that's never been done before, you get this guy showing his greatness and everybody else recognizing it. I personally think the Riders made the right call last night. I thought it was the right call that it was that close. you're parsing hairs there, but I'm incredibly happy to see Aaron Judge win another MVP. And it's a good day to be a Bulldog, rooting for a Bulldog with that award win. What do you guys think? Tanvira, go to you first. You know, just the representation today for the Bulldogs just got to feel good.
Yeah, and I back what you said. I think he is the greatest player to come out of Fresno State in terms of what he has done as a professional athlete. I know we could, you know, point to guys like Devontae Adams and point to guys like Paul George and what they
do. Hall of Famers.
Exactly.
They will be Hall of Famers, but it's not.
It's not what Judge is doing. And I think Judge has truly become an era-defining player in this, I guess, modern era that we have of baseball. I honestly think that this MLB season has kind of sparked a resurgence in baseball, and I think Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani, the two guys that have the MVPs this season and last season too, They are defining this era, and so I am very happy that a guy from Fresno State like Aaron Judge representing the Central Valley like that, it is something remarkable. And obviously there's only one thing left to do for Aaron Judge. I know Daniel would say as well, it's getting that World Series championship, and we'll see if the Yankees can accomplish that. But on a personal level, I think he is remarkable at what he's done.
Absolutely. And this goes to that question I was kind of lingering on, and I want to go to it now, of like thinking the historical nature of where baseball is, where you have these two titanic superstars that I would argue are as equally impactful of superstars in baseball. You know, Shohei and what he does, and Judge and what he does. And I'm trying to think of like eras where you had two like big-time superstars like this that are transcending the sport at the same time, where you feel like these are all-time greats that we are watching here. I think when we do this, usually we do this kind of in the NBA, I think, the most. And I can't really – it's always been kind of LeBron's league for a while. Steph Curry kind of has been around that stratosphere. It's not necessarily we think of it being LeBron versus Steph for the most time there. I'm trying to think of another time in sports where we had two guys like this in other sports, and I'm having a hard time thinking of the precedent nature of what we're witnessing in baseball right now.
Yeah, it's only one to me, and it's in soccer. It's Lionel Messi versus Cristiano Ronaldo, and what they did over the course of the late 2000s into the late 2010s, winning Ballon d'Ors back and forth, which is basically the MVP of soccer, and for them to put not only the statistical aspect of it, but also the skill, Cristiano Ronaldo being the goal scorer that he was, Messi being the absolute magician that he was on the field, and them clashing because mm-hmm. they were in the same league, I think that's probably the most similar thing that we can see in terms of Ohtani and Judge. And I think LeBron versus Curry is also one, but I think, as you said, I think it's been kind of LeBron's league, and then Curry has provided some sort of competition to him.
I'm thinking Brady Manning. Two, I think Brady Manning, if you really go to the totality of what those two did
for sure
during the whole time that they were in the league. But the only reason I'm hesitant in football in this conversation, it's not as global of a sport, arguably, than baseball, than soccer, than
I think
than
tennis.
Basketball.
I think yeah. tennis is
Federer and Nadal.
Federer and Nadal
yeah. You think about Federer and Nadal all the time, and it's turning into Alcaraz Skinner, but obviously, I don't know what people are still, I don't know if you can say those names and people know what we're talking about there,
right.
If you're not into that, but when you say Roger Federer, you see Rafael Nadal, you think of the commercials, you think all the things you see outside of the sport, you think of Judge, you think of Ohtani, you see all of the different things that surround it in terms of that, and two of the biggest markets that they could possibly be in. That you theoretically, Chloe, people should know who they are. somehow, there's people in this world who don't know. I might be putting her on blast just a little bit here, but
I don't know who that is.
Chloe, what do you think of Aaron Judge winning MVP yesterday?
You know, he's a very deserving man.
Agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, like. You know, me and him are on a first name basis.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, me and AJ.
AJ?
I love that.
But.
All right, dude, we don't have to do the whole charade, Chloe. I was astounded today, and I'm just going to totally reveal you here. I was astounded today that you didn't know who Aaron Judge was. I walked in. I knew you didn't know baseball. I didn't know you didn't know it to this scale. It is remarkable that you've walked this earth for at least the last 10 years and have not had any clue who Aaron Judge is or what he looks like, especially living in the Central Valley. And I have no explanation for you other than I don't know how you did this.
Locked into one sport. That's what it is.
She's
a locked into football.
And gymnastics.
And gymnastics.
Those hours of practice at gymnastics of not being able to watch baseball.
Exactly.
You know,
Aaron Judge is just not the most nimble guy, okay? And that's clearly why she didn't know.
Do you think, like, if we took a straw poll of, like, people on the street here in Fresno, like, where is the percentage of people who can recognize Aaron Judge by a photo?
95%.
95% is what you're saying. We go downtown Fresno and you're like, do you know who this is?
I think we should test this out.
I think this is my next social media skit.
Exactly. I think we need to know. I think we scientifically need to know how many people. Honestly, I want to put it on the Twitter poll. I'm like, do you know who this is? Here's a picture, and yes or no.
Yeah, but those are fans.
That's true. You know? People follow our Twitter. I don't even know how to scientifically figure this one out.
I think it's just what you said.
Yeah.
Let's go out on the streets. Let's show an image and see if people know.
Okay. Let's take a trip to River Park.
River Park? Yeah. Yep. Is that where we'll find the people who don't know who Aaron Judge is? Like, what part of town are we going to, like, find the crop of people?
I think that's where
Chloe, where do you hang out?
Work.
Work? Yeah. Yeah, I'm astounded that you don't even know who Shohei is, which is, I bet you 99% of the people know who Shohei is.
I know the name.
There you go.
The name. Could you?
The one, the only.
Yeah, the one and the only Shohei Ohtani. Never mind. I don't even know. I don't want to go there. I'm just remarkable that you didn't know who that is. All right. Congrats to Aaron Judge. Greatest Bulldog of all time right now, I think. In my book, and does he win another? Like, we did this exercise with Shohei. Where in the American League can we see other guys compete? Is Cal Raleigh's season repeatable? I've made this remark in terms of what I've seen from Cal Raleigh, and I've heard some things of him. You know, if he moves to first base, it's kind of like a Joe Mauer situation when Joe Mauer was winning MVPs out of the catching position, that maybe Cal Raleigh can benefit in his offensive output to it, but he's so good at the behind the plate defensively that do you replace that with that? Are there other American League superstars upcoming that can contest with what Aaron Judge has done? Is Aaron Judge's biggest enemy himself in the injury-prone situations that he finds himself in? You know, his arm situation where I think it was a shoulder or an elbow thing that took a sideline him for about a month, and still he had a remarkable season, is the only thing that I think is he his own worst enemy in winning MVP the rest of his career? That's my number one question.
Yeah, I think one more is probably going to happen. But, we were talking about how I don't feel like Shohei has the level of competition in terms of getting more MVPs like Judge does. I look at a guy like Vladimir Guerrero. Mm-hmm. He's sitting there 26 years old, and I think he can have the type of season that Aaron Judge did. And I think, obviously, defensively, he can still do his thing, you know, at first base. I think I look at all of these guys that are in the AL, and I feel like they would give Judge a little bit more competition in terms of the future. I do think he can get one more. Two, I feel like it's possible, but again, it's all going to matter on what his health is in terms of not just the age, but obviously, as you said, the injuries. And maybe voter fatigue does come into play here. It didn't mm-hmm. come into play in this specific voting.
It tried. I think it tried a little bit. I'm not going to argue it wasn't there.
Right. And so maybe it's even, you know, doubled in the next year. If we imagine we have another year like Cal Raleigh did next year.
Yeah.
Would we see Cal Raleigh win MVP again?
Two seasons in a row of that would guarantee and warrant, I think, more recognition of that's impossible to do. I've never seen that. I think it's more warranted than that. I do argue there's a sleeping giant in Kansas City named Bobby Witt Jr. who had an incredible season last year. Like, one of the greatest seasons of all times to never win MVP. Like, legit, I think one of the five best seasons to never win MVP. Bobby Witt Jr. It was just Aaron Judge was Aaron Judge. So, insane stuff there. I think he's obviously there are otherworldly talents in this American League that can certainly beg the argument. So, and who knows where the young guys who come up, you know, there's a lot of them out there too. Kurtz, like, he is, what is his potential for the A's? And do the A's become this contender because Nick Kurtz becomes what he becomes, you know? That's another name I think of. Junior Caminero for the Rays, not a popular team, but he was insane this year for the Rays as well. But I'm talking about teams that weren't really contending.
Yeah, and I think if the Yankees keep contending, it'll keep Judge in there. But, you know, they were a five seed this year, or four seed this year.
Yeah, they were. They were the top wild card.
Yeah, and so you might see some of these other teams that have a lot of younger guys. I think the Blue Jays will stick there, and that's why I think Vlad has a really good chance next year. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, that's all it is.
We'll see. But congrats, Aaron Judge. Three MVP awards. Remarkable stuff. And we will see what he can do next next season and beyond. Congrats, Aaron Judge, on winning AL MVP. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're just getting started. We're going to pick the NFL games. Benatti Blitz is next here on 1430. Used to be at Fresno the Valley's local sports leader. Back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this Friday, taking you all the way up to 5 o'clock. Reminder, we're heading over to La Monica Stadium at 6:30. We'll have the pregame, 7 p.m. kickoff, Clovis West. Myself, Paul Menders, Pat Hill, the whole gang's going to be there for this game tonight. Should be a lot of fun between two very high-caliber teams. All right, we're ready to do our grocery outlets, Benatti Blitz. Are you guys ready for some game picks over there?
Yes, sir.
Got some sharks circling, trying to think of some good sharp picks today. First, Benatti Blitz brought to you by Grocery Outlet. Grocery Outlet, of course, the home of our Tailgate Ready contest. You have just a few days left to enter for the final giveaway, the Tailgate Ready contest. We got one more Fresno State home game to give away for, and that's next week against Utah State. So be sure to stop by our locations, Northwest Fresno, Southeast Fresno, Downtown Fresno, Kerman and Sanger for the Grocery Outlet contest today, the Tailgate Ready contest, where you can win two tickets and $100 towards your tailgate for an upcoming Fresno State game. All right, let's begin the Benatti Blitz. Week 11 on our docket here. 14 games left in the week. We'll pick 13 of them outside of the Monday night, and we begin in Spain, in Madrid. 6:30 in the morning for us, kicking it off with the Commanders and the Dolphins, two teams that have severely disappointing seasons for them. But I think there's one team that certainly feels like they have at least taking a nice step in the right direction with the way they played. I'll tell you this, the Dolphins certainly can run the football when they have a way to do that. And there's a team on the other side, the Commanders, who have had the worst ability to run the football this season out of any team I've seen so far this year. Marcus Mariota taking on Tua Tagovailoa. I think the Dolphins have just a little more juice going into this game on a Sunday morning, at least for us. I expect the Dolphins to win this football game and beat out the Commanders. Dolphins with a 2.5-point favorite, and I expect the cover with a 3-point win.
I'm going to agree with that, and I'm actually going to take the Dolphins because the Commanders really have had a disappointing season, especially with their run game, and The Dolphins are looking a lot better than I was expecting. Not great, but I mean, when I put the two teams
when you beat Buffalo, hey,
exactly, so I'm gonna take the Dolphins on this one.
Yeah, Washington pass defense has been absolutely horrendous over the last couple of weeks, and Jalen Waddle has been a very, very good deep threat over the last couple of weeks for the Miami Dolphins. I'm gonna pick the Miami Dolphins to win this by a touchdown.
Next up, we go to Atlanta, the Falcons taking on the Carolina Panthers. The Atlanta Falcons, 3.5-point favorites as they come into this game. All the vibes are not there right now for this Atlanta Falcons team, who continues to lose in tough, confounding ways. They feel like they have the more talent than their record stands in terms of it. It just doesn't feel like they have the ability to finish out some football games. And that we have a team on the other side in Carolina who shows up 2 weeks ago in beating Green Bay and a very impressive defensive performance from them. And then somehow it's the worst we've seen Bryce Young play, I think, in quite some time. And Atlanta, coming off of that 30-0 loss earlier this year, you got to believe there's a bounce back to it. Carolina always has trouble in Atlanta. It is a house of horrors for this Carolina Panthers squad. I'm picking the Falcons to win this game on Sunday and get back up to 4-6 on the year.
I'm also going to take the Falcons in this. I mean, the Falcons really have had a rough season, but that loss, like, I'm really hoping that there is some bounce back energy. So I'll take the Falcons. I'll go with it.
Bryce Young is 3-1 against the Atlanta Falcons in his career, and so I think that Atlanta is just tumbling down. Ever since their loss to the San Francisco 49ers, they've lost to New England, they've lost to Carolina, and I mean, you look at this Carolina rush offense, Rico Dowdle is third in the league in rushing yards, and I think with this Atlanta rush defense, which has been just been getting gashed. I think they will get gashed again. So I have Carolina winning this game by a touchdown as well.
All right. Next up, Bucks and Bills in Buffalo. The Bills are at a 5.5-point favorite. People liking the Bills this week to bounce back. I find this an interesting game as well, especially with one team who I think their offense has not necessarily been. I think both of these teams have kind of had weird offensive weeks the last couple weeks where hasn't really totally clicked. Injuries have been persisting in the Buccaneers side of things, so I maybe can blame it a little bit on that. From the Bills' standpoint, there may be just a lack of talent disparity there. But I do think there's one guy that has been really good for this Buffalo Bills squad through this whole season. I think James Cook has been a phenomenal player. You saw the breaking runs Chabon Henderson did last week for the Patriots over this Bucs defense. I wonder if there's a couple in there. I think the Bills do get back on track, despite maybe a little bit of question marks with their defense against this Bucs offense. But I think Buffalo has a slight edge here over Tampa.
I mean, I'm looking at the stats for this game, and it's, I mean, Tampa Bay's defense is stronger than the Bills, but I do feel like the Bills' offense has been showing some hope, especially with their key players right now. I mean, I love the Bills, so I'm obviously going to take them, but I actually have some good hope. I'll take the Bills by a touchdown.
Okay.
Yeah, I originally had the Buccaneers coming into today, but then I found out Bucky Irving and Chris Godwin are both not going to play, and I understand Dalton Kincaid is not going to play for the Buffalo Bills. I think this could be a game just based off of which quarterback plays better. I think Josh Allen can play better. It's going to be a home game. I think the Buccaneers will eventually get back to what the Buccaneers were at the start of this season, but I don't think it's going to be in this game, so I'm going to say the Bills win this game as well.
Next up, Texans and Titans in Tennessee. Houston, a 5.5-point favorite. The Texans coming in a little bit hot. A little bit hot. Look out for the Texans here, and their defense keeps humming along. And the Titans, man, they continue even after their bye week. I don't know if I have any faith in what's been going on. Cam Ward's got more picks and touchdowns right now in this season, and it's a rough rookie campaign for them. I think the Texans, even though it looks like Davis Mills is the starting quarterback, he showed me that he is a serviceable quarterback in this National Football League and will at least manage the game for the Texans as they navigate a game in Tennessee. Houston can't lose this game. They shouldn't lose this game, and they will see that result through the end. They'll beat the Titans for sure.
Yeah, Houston should not lose this game at all. I would be extremely disappointed, so leave it at that.
What do you got?
You're going to go Houston?
All right.
But I think that if you don't have a competent offensive line against this Houston Texans defensive line that has Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter, who are playing at the top of their game right now, I don't think you have a chance. I think General Mills will get them the dub this week, and the Texans will win by multiple touchdowns.
Next up, Bears and Vikings in Minnesota. The Bears, hey, what's been going on with Chicago? They've been playing some good football, right, as of late. Fascinating couple of games here. They've won 6 of their last 7, just a lone loss to the Ravens. Are they hot? Are they good? Or have they had it easy the last few weeks with the defenses they've played? I will argue this Vikings defense is a much tougher beast than maybe what the Giants or the Bengals or any of these wins, the Saints, the Commanders, all of them, I feel like are a little bit more of a tougher stand than what the Bears have been facing. The Bears are hot. They're looking good. But I think I worry about what team comes into Minnesota and tries to beat them on a Sunday. I think Minnesota bounces back, gets back to 500. The Bears come back to earth, and the Vikings will get their win at home.
I don't know. Swiftman's looking pretty good for the Bears, and the Bears honestly have been playing some pretty good football. So I'm going to stick with the Bears for this game.
Yeah, I look at the Bears' schedule and the wins that they've had, and they don't impress me. I feel like this is a team that's going to get caught by the end of this season. You know, look at their wins. They beat the Giants, the Bengals, the Saints, Commanders. They got destroyed by the Ravens. They barely beat the Raiders by 1.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is a game where they're just going to get caught out. Their offense has been really impressive, and, you know, Kyle Manungai has really shown out over the last couple of weeks. I just feel like this is a division game that they get caught out in. So I'm going to take the Vikings and they win by 10.
I haven't been forgetting about that Vikings-Lions game a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
How much the Vikings frustrated Detroit.
And I think similar things will happen in this game.
Exactly. Next up, Packers and Giants in New York. The Pack. Where has their offense been? We have been looking for some sort of production out of this team. Can they do it against the Giants team that continues to, I would say, wither away as their season rolls along? No Jackson Dart for the Giants. It is Jameis Winston. Hey, there's a little buzz there with how their offense could look with him. I just wonder if the Packers can find a way to start better in this game, that they can find a way to win. This is a classic Packer trap game, again, that they could lose to in this game. And I think the Packers really could get into the panic mode if they lose this game on Sunday. I do like the idea of back against the wall, gotta have it game for the Packers. They haven't shown me much, but I still think there's a talented team out there. And on the flip side, I think their defense has played very well, and Jameis loves to turn the ball over. I'm going to go Pack. I have faith in the Pack to bounce back, at least in this game against the New York Giants.
I'm going to agree with that. I think there is some more that the Packers can offer, and I feel like this game really gives them the chance to, especially with it being an away game. So I'll take the Packers.
If Jordan Love doesn't show me something in this game, I am actually going to be highly upset, because Jordan Love has been touted as this guy that is the next man up in the Packers lineage of great quarterbacks, and this year I have not seen much out of him. So I need him to get something going in this specific game. I think the Packers win, but I think this will be a close game, and I think they win by like a field goal.
Next up, the Bengals and the Steelers in Pittsburgh. The Steelers, who have really faded of late as a football team. But, hey, no better cure than your struggling offense when you take on the Cincinnati Bengals. And no Joe Burrow as the Bengals continue to navigate this season. I still don't know if it's where the quarterback position could be going for the Bengals this Sunday. Do we have a confirmation on that? If so, I don't know if it'll matter. I think the Steelers at least have a plus ability to beat this Bengals team and find a way against this Bengals defense. I just don't trust it with Cincy. It's in Pittsburgh. It's a rivalry game. The Steelers absolutely need this game if they want to keep being in the conversation in the AFC. Give me Pittsburgh at home to beat the Cincinnati Bengals.
Exactly. The Steelers really, again, I'm going to just repeat what you said. They need this game to stay in the conversation. The Bengals, I haven't always been the biggest fan of the Bengals, but I feel like even this year, it's just a really sketchy, like, you don't know what each week's going to look like. It's very questionable. So I'll take the Steelers.
This is a tough game for the Bengals to win. I think that the Steelers are going to be motivated by how they played against the Bengals on that Thursday night football game, and I think they'll come back and win this game, but I am not going to be shocked if the Bengals do win this one. I think the Steelers' defense has been coming around, and they're starting to pick things up. They looked pretty impressive in that game over the last couple of weeks, so I think the Steelers are going to win this game, but it's going to be close.
The last of the 10 a.m. window, the Chargers and the Jaguars in Jacksonville. Herbert versus Herbert. How about that? If you have been seeing that kind of build up to it. But the Jags, who are, struggling of late as maybe one of the most disappointing losses you have ever seen in franchise history for the Jaguars. They still are. There's a pulse there in terms of their playoffs hopes, but it's a slim one. This is one they need to get if they want to continue that conversation. But Jacksonville's offense, I just don't know what they have in terms of their ability to be sustainable through four quarters of football. The Chargers have, I think their defense has been somewhat impressive with how they've been able to handle things the last couple of weeks. It's hard for me to see the Chargers as an 8-3 team, even though I haven't been really convinced over the last few weeks of what they've been like. But I got to believe Justin Herbert is a quarterback capable of winning this game. If we're going to believe Herbert is the guy, this is a game that I think he needs to win. And I'm going to go with the Chargers here, even though I think there could be some struggles on the offensive side of the football for the Chargers. So give me L.A. to beat the Jaguars here.
Looking at Herbert's stats and even just paying attention to how the Chargers offense has played, for me it's been pretty impressionable. I feel like they have a really good offense this year, and they need this game for sure, so I'll take the Chargers.
I'm going to take the Jaguars. I think their defense will really wreck shop against that Chargers offensive line. I don't think Amani Vidal will have the same amount of success. I think Herbert is the better of the two quarterbacks. I'm looking right now. Trevor Lawrence is the only guy in the top 20 of passing guards that has below a 60% completion percentage. And I think that this is a game that you need to show why you were drafted number one. You know, the Chargers defense is really good, and so this will be a test. But I think in this battle of defenses, I think Jacksonville being at home will win this game.
I failed to mention Jacksonville, a lot of injuries. That was my other concern. I forgot to mention that as well.
Both teams do.
Yeah,
you know?
Certainly. It is injury city there in Jacksonville. Next up, in L.A., the Seahawks and the Rams battle it out for first place in the NFC West. And I go back to the idea of what the Rams have been in Sam Darnold's nightmares and how much they can pass rush against him as a quarterback and what kind of ghosts he could see that could certainly be a disruptive force in this one. The Rams have been as efficient as anybody has been in terms of playing great football down the stretch. I argue they are two plays away from being the only undefeated team right now in the National Football League. The Rams feel like the cream of the crop in this NFL. The Seahawks are certainly humming. Both teams have fantastic defenses. Both teams have very highly efficient passing offenses. I just worry a little bit of maybe there's a better run element with the Rams side as opposed to the Seahawks side of if you need to run the ball down and kill some clock down the stretch of leading a game like this, the Rams are a better capable team of playing with a lead. And plus, pass rush, pin your ears back. I think that's going to matter. I like the Rams. I've liked the Rams all year. I think the Rams win it by a single point over the Seahawks in L.A.
I could see your concern with the Seahawks and the Rams running game, but I also feel like the Seahawks are a team that's gonna make you fight to the end. Like, they will, when you're gassed, they're gonna keep pushing. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they do it. Like,
a lot of blitzing from the Seahawks defense,
yeah.
That's for sure.
And I really enjoy watching the Seahawks defense like put up that fight. So I'm gonna take the Seahawks.
Not by much, she said?
Not by much.
All right, I'm taking the Seahawks. I think that the Rams have not been tested in terms of pressure, and this Seahawks defensive line can pressure the heck out of you. I think Stafford is going to have to be on his game in this specific game. I have the Seahawks being able to pass the football over these cornerbacks, and I think JSN will have an amazing game. Sam Darnold and those boys are cooking. I think whichever team can establish the run better will win this game, and so that's why I think Seattle's going to win.
It's fascinating. This game's like two teams in a mirror. I don't know. It's going to be crazy to watch. Next up, Niners and Cardinals in Arizona. The Niners, hey, welcome back, Mr. Purdy. Hey, welcome back, Mr. Pearsall, to the NFL action here. Is it going to lead to a 49ers victory? You'd hope so. The Niners fans certainly will hope so in this matchup against an Arizona team that really got jumped on the road there against Seattle in a game that was non-competitive by about 125. I don't know if the Niners have that ability on defense to do that to Arizona, but I do think they have an ability to mix and match and make things difficult for the Arizona Cardinals with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback. The Niners were able to beat them earlier this year with some big plays from Pearsall, and I wonder if Pearsall can be the X factor for this Niners team to maybe jump out a little bit more in terms of playing from a lead and going at it. Plus, hey, the Niners trending have always had a win after a loss this season, so I like the win on the road over Arizona. They got to have it, and I think they'll get it.
Yeah, I think if you look at the teams that have beat the 49ers this year, I think that it's been a lot of teams that can beat them in the passing game. And with Marvin Harrison Jr. out and Jacoby Brissett being the quarterback, I know you can argue Jacoby Brissett might be playing better quarterback play than like Kyler Murray. I just don't see how the Niners can lose this game. I think Brock Purdy does have a good game this game because Arizona's pass defense is not that good, especially with their top two corners questionable or out. And so I think the 49ers will win this game pretty easily.
Got to get her mic on there.
I know you guys talked about it yesterday, but for me, getting the notification that Purdy was starting literally made my day, and I feel better about this than last time it was like second or third game, and they're like, he's back, and I didn't feel ready enough, So I really do think, especially with our trend of wins after losses, that this is going to be a strong game. And even then, Mac Jones has really proved himself. So if, like, worst comes to worst, when you put Jones back in, like, we have it. So I'll take the Niners.
We got to go quick here on these last three. We got Ravens and Browns. I don't need to say much about it. Browns are horrible. Ravens are seemingly getting on their stride. I think the Ravens will win at Cleveland, no doubt about it. What do you got?
Ravens.
Yeah, I think the Ravens are going to be able to run on the interior. And I think if you can run through this Browns defense, you're going to win. So I think the Ravens are going to win this one.
Next up, Chiefs and Broncos in Denver. Denver needs a win somewhere that can instill confidence in this group. I don't think it comes, though. I think the Chiefs defense can certainly cause some fits for this Broncos offense. I think this Chiefs offense has a way to, I would say, break through this Denver pressure as well. I think Kansas City pulls out a win in Denver on a big AFC West matchup.
I think the Broncos need this the most. Now they'll have a lot of energy, so I'll take the Broncos.
Broncos are one of two teams that are undefeated at home, and I think that comes to a close in this game. I think their defense has been playing exceptional, but that offense is just too erratic for me to have any confidence in them in this game. Give me the Chiefs by a touchdown.
And lastly, the Lions and the Eagles in Philly. These two teams very similar, I would say, in their capabilities, pass rushers aside. Both teams very good, and this will matter in the NFC. However, there's some key injuries that I think are going to struggle for Detroit in this game. Laporta suddenly got called out of this football game for the Detroit Lions this week. So as much as they didn't instill confidence last week against Green Bay and grinding it out, I think Philly will pull out a win at home against Detroit.
I think the Lions got this one.
Yeah, Laporta aside, Jameson Williams is playing out of his mind right now, and I think they'll be able to beat the secondary, which has been playing pretty good for the Eagles. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game, and I think Jahmyr Gibbs has one hell of a game because he's going to be able to go and run on the outside. So give me the Lions.
And that is your Benatti Blitz, brought to you by Grocery Outlet. Let's take a break. We'll wrap up the hour next on 1430 ESPN. To Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, as we have just a few minutes here before we got to say goodbye to this first hour. We'll have a second hour of our show coming up with Paul Metters and talking high school sports, and we'll talk Fresno State football and all that. I love the Adam Schefter. Have you seen the Adam Schefter "Here's Who the Players Are Ruled Out" tweet, where he just rules all the notable players out on Sunday?
I'm looking at it.
Jaden Daniels, Terry McLaurin, Joe Burrow, Trey Hendrickson, Samaj Perine, Samar Stewart, Alex Highsmith, Cole Holcomb, Darius Slay, Chris Godwin, Bucky Irving, Hassan Reddick, all these. It's just like, it just keeps going. And it just tells, you know, it just tells me how brutal football is. Because it feels like this every year.
Yeah, but I don't know. Does it feel like it's been more prevalent this season? Like the big name injury? Maybe it's because my team got hit with like these insane injuries.
I'm sitting here. I'm like, I don't think there's a single injury. Like, right. Ramondre's been out for a little bit, but like outside of that, like,
you guys got a better running back after Ramondre got. That's nothing.
And then Boutte is out, but then suddenly Kyle Williams shows up, and Mac Hollins becomes like the second coming of Megatron in terms of what he's done.
You are fine.
Have you seen Mac Hollins' Instagram, by the way?
I have, yes.
The Mac Hacks?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting.
I love it. The dude, for a hobby, like, goes in his basement, in his house, on a green screen, just puts on a suit and just talks about interesting historical things.
Right.
From society.
Dude, you got to check this out.
Oh, my God.
And then he also teaches you, like, kitchen hacks. And then he teaches you, like, hacks for your car. And then he teaches you things of, like, hacks for your, you know, like, I don't even know how to describe it. The most recent one he did where he was, like, talking about, like, what to do when you get pulled over, Chloe. Like, I'd probably be an important video for you. How to stay calm when you get pulled over, right?
I was very calm.
Calm in the moment. I don't know if calm afterwards was
after was not.
The best
was a really nice police officer.
Yes. Shout out to whoever gave her the warning there. Hey, it's good to get the warning. Good to get the warning. Got to get her mic on again.
Hey, I put my sticker on last night after work.
Get your car registered, folks. Trust me.
Hey, I'll show her the video right now.
Yeah, yeah. The Mac hacks are phenomenal, and it's one of my favorite things on Instagram going right now. I need more people to be into the Mac hacks. I love how he ends every video of, we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
So good.
I've seen his page, and it's literally all the hacks, and then there's just one random picture of him in the Bucks game.
Oh, yeah, like him celebrating the Travion Henderson.
That's
the touchdown. Yeah. When he breaks away with the touchdown in the third quarter. It's phenomenal stuff. All right. Well, we got another hour here coming up, and Paul Metters just strolled on in, so he is ready, and I would say more than willing, very much champing at the bit to talk playoffs here in tonight, and we're going to break down all of the matchups, including our game coming up on 1430 tonight, which you can listen to right here. Can't wait for it. Clovis versus Clovis West. We got one more hour of Behind the Bench next here on 1430, so plenty of stuff coming up. Stay with us. Behind the Bench returns here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Benatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, here on this Friday. One more hour before we say sayonara to the weekend. Of course, we got the big game tonight, Clovis and Clovis West. Your Friday Night Lights playoff edition, semifinals. Winner will take on either Central East or Buchanan in the 1AA playoffs. And, of course, one of the members of that broadcast tonight is sitting in here, as he's been doing all season long on these Fridays, previewing the action tonight. Very grateful for Paul Metters to be in here and joining me. And hopefully you've been staying dry the last couple days, unlike some of the players might be tonight. It might be a sloppy playoff night of football across the Central section tonight, but I think we're excited for it regardless.
Well, the rain's coming in and out. What it's going to be for the next 5 or 6 days.
Yeah.
What's the word on tonight's or tomorrow's Fresno State football game?
Rain.
Uncomfortability.
Bring a poncho. It is all over us tomorrow in terms of that.
Yeah, I think tonight's game is going to be affected by the rain. I think the field conditions at La Monica isn't going to be too bad, not compared to Veterans Memorial Stadium. But I think, we always talk about this in the playoffs. It becomes a different animal for a lot of different reasons, right? The clean pockets where you could just step back and throw with none of the conditions affecting anything, right? No more in the playoffs. It's not the bitter cold that we've seen in the past. The rain's definitely going to affect some things. So I don't know if that has an advantage for either one of the two teams. It might have some advantage for Clovis West, in my opinion. But, there's just so many fun facts about this game tonight. So many different scenarios can play out. So much at stake, right?
Legacy stuff.
And I put these in my notes. One of the keys tonight for Clovis High is there are a lot of expectations. We talk about expectations a lot. A lot of expectations about this year's football team. It's been building up since Deegan Rose was a freshman. Pointing to this year, obviously, some new guys have come up. I mean, those sophomores have done an amazing job for the Cougars, Caruso, Sterling Edwards. But the pressure is there for Clovis. You see that drive for 9? It's been there for a while.
Been there for a bit.
So one of these two teams tonight is going to get a chance to play for that elusive Central Section title, Valley title, whatever you want to call it. But there's a lot of expectations. And, heck, if Clovis loses this football game to this younger Clovis West team that's a little bit ahead of schedule, it's not going to sit well with Cougar Nation.
Well, we had a team that felt like it was ordained to win, and then a team ahead of schedule last year ended up winning it all. And we have the I would say the same situation here, where Clovis feels like they are the favorite to win tonight, and the team that arrived a little bit ahead, like Central last year, Clovis West could be that team if they want to do it. And frankly, Clovis West could do that if they win the next two, and that could be the narrative we see in terms of it. I had this conversation with Tanvir yesterday. I want to bring up this question to you because we differed on where we landed in terms of who needs the better start tonight. Like, who needs to jump ahead tonight in this game? Tanvir was on the Clovis West side. I had the argument for Clovis. We had varying different reasons because of it. But I present to you this idea of who needs the start tonight to feel good going into the rest of the game.
I think Clovis needs the bigger start.
Mm.
And, you know, I think that pressure thing, right?
That's so, where I landed, right? That same exact reason.
Let's say Clovis West, you know, goes up 14-0. That pressure that I'm talking about, right? I think the team will feel it. You know, again, Deegan Rose, he's as cool and calm as we've seen in a long time as far as a quarterback goes, right? But I'm talking about some of the things that might pop up during a game. A false start, right? Maybe you're at the goal line and third and short. You're like, hey, give the ball to Caruso, right? This is probably an easy touchdown, a false start. Now you're 3rd and 6.
Mm-hmm.
Like those types of pressure situations that they pop up in a football game like this, I think Clovis has to come out with that strong start, put some points on the board early, because Clovis West, I'm not saying they're playing with house money necessarily, but they shouldn't necessarily be here, arriving a little ahead of schedule. But you never want to let a team like Clovis West or J.J. Howard linger around. Crazy things can happen.
Well, I want to go to Tanvir first, but before I go to Tanvir real quick for his rebuttal, I want to say we felt it last year in the championship, like Central or Clovis East falling behind. It was 14-7, and it was like, okay, and then they felt like, okay, they're going to have an answer here, but then things started. It never really kind of materialized for a Clovis East team that we thought was a juggernaut team that could never be beaten, and then there they are. A lead suddenly just tightens the screws just a little bit. That's the feel of tonight's game for me, and I sit there, and we'll pay attention to it as it goes. That's how I could see it going one way. But, Tanvir, you mentioned on the Clovis West side, just tell me a little bit why you think they need to get out to the lead more than Clovis does.
Yeah, my whole argument was that I think that every time I watch this Clovis High team play, even if they start out slow, they always grind it out, especially in that second and third quarter, to start getting points. My thing is, I saw Clovis High fall behind 12-7 in that Frontier game. They were getting gashed by the running game, and I saw them come back. They got the lead into the third quarter. They were up by 2 touchdowns. Yes, they did have the comeback attempt by Frontier, but they ultimately did stop them. And so where you guys argue that Clovis High needs that to not have that situation arise again.
Yeah.
I feel like they have experience with that now.
Mm-hmm.
And me personally, I think Clovis West has to keep up on the scoreboard with Clovis High, because I don't think you can let Deegan just linger around and, rely on your defense to keep the points low, because I just don't think that's going to happen.
Well, I think you're more coming from the football sense of the logic side of it. We're kind of coming from the intangible side of the football game.
Agreed.
You know, and where you can't really measure it. And I think it's fascinating, the push and pull of the logic there. But both answers, I think, are correct. And that's what makes this game fascinating tonight.
Yeah, and you go back to last year's championship game that you referenced, the Clovis East and Central football game, where Central East, during the regular season, they went undefeated until that championship game. So many things, Phil. Well, how many games? We might have done 4 of their games last year. You're talking about Clovis East, maybe 3. Mm-hmm. So many things went their way, right? A 50-50 ball went the way of Clovis East. A fumble recovery went their way. The ball bounced a certain way, right? And my whole thing was, what if that doesn't happen in a high-stakes game? Right, again, tonight's game, Clovis West and Clovis, it's not the championship game, but it's the right to play whoever's going to win between Buchanan and Central East. But what if those plays don't go Clovis's way? Right? What if, you know, the play that's been money all year? Hey, we've set up this play for Carlos Run to go deep on this deep crosser. If we got safety drifts over this way, boom, we got it. What happens if Clovis West sniffs that out and it doesn't work? And then, oh, we got to dial something else up. So just lots of different scenarios like that. We saw that in last year's game where, gosh, I mean, Clovis East went up 10-0. And we just felt like Central East was still in the football game. Sure enough, second half, they turned it around. But, hey, playoff football is different.
It certainly
is. Every level, right? High school, college, and the professional level. You never know which way the ball is going to bounce. I don't want to bring up that R word either, but it rhymes with Jeffrey. With an R. So those calls matter.
Certainly.
And that's going to play a factor too.
Can I argue with a question? Like, if either team were to fall behind, which team do you think would be more capable of coming back and winning that game? And that's where I think it is Clovis High.
Yeah.
And that's why I argue Clovis West does need to get
I think they are capable. It's just we're asking the question of can Clovis get out of Clovis's way if that is the situation.
For sure.
I don't think it's Clovis West and what they can do that prevents Clovis from coming back. It is Clovis's own volition that will prevent them from coming back and winning the game.
But big play ability, I think you're right. It does land more towards Clovis High, right? Those big receivers, the quick guys. Gosh, I mean, we talk about Sterling Edwards. We saw him put on move on a couple weeks ago. It was like, hey, that guy, he actually leads the team in receiving yards. So, you know, you got three good options like that. Explosiveness.
Riggs.
I do give the Abbott advantage to Clovis High. But J.J. Howard, we've seen him extend some plays. We've seen him get sacked for 20-yard losses as well. So, right? I mean, just...
Can he stay up in those situations on a muddy field and where the spikes will be? And, can he have his cleats in the right situation? And I'm sure there'll be a lot of scraping on the cleats tonight on the football field and the sidelines. We'll be paying attention to that. And I'm sure we'll get that analysis not only from you, but Pat Hill's going to be there as well. And I can't wait to talk about Pat about the intangibles of a game like this tonight as well in the playoff setting. Let's go to the other side of town real quick on this bracket. And Central East hosts Buchanan and the Bears, you know, gave them fits a couple weeks ago, this Bengals squad. It was not an easy game, but Brandon Smith just went absolutely nuclear in his performance against Buchanan and the run game. What keeps it close tonight? Do you feel like there is a chance this Bears team could do what many people don't think they can, which is win a game tonight?
Yeah, a lot of things are going to have to go their way. Buchanan's defense is their speciality. The running game has really gone off the last few games as well. You know, it's tough playing at Central as well. Mm-hmm. That's a tough place to win a football game. Clovis High actually did it a couple years ago in the in track play. But the advantages I think are just at the quarterback position, at the receivers. Obviously, Brandon Smith is an absolute dude. Buchanan's going to need a fumble recovery for a touchdown, a special teams touchdown, Dipple to have a rough game. So a lot of things going to have to go their way for them to advance.
All right, let's get down to some of the other games that are going around in the Central section, and we'll just kind of go down the brackets here. We're not going to be able to hit every single game, but there's some ones to highlight for sure. Let's go to one single A. Sanger getting the win over Bullard last week, and now they go take on Bakersfield Christian, the one seed. I had the Sanger guys in yesterday for the Student Athlete of the Week. They're fired up for this opportunity for sure, and I wonder if they can hand them a first loss. Does a bye change the momentum a little bit? Sometimes see teams get sleepy a little bit after a bye, but I wonder what Coach Carr's team will look like in this week.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, a lot of questions about the byes and how teams are going to come out, you know, after, especially with the number one seed that Bakersfield Christian has. You know, Sanger's going to have to do the same types of things I think that Buchanan's going to need to do against Central East to win that football game. Control the line of scrimmage, get a turnover here. We've seen Sanger High, five possessions
in the entire regulation.
They had five possessions. And so that's what they're going to need to do, keep Bakersfield Christian's offense off the field, all that stuff. But Sanger, they feel pretty confident.
They are confident.
Yeah.
They are confident. The other side of the bracket, this is a fascinating one in Hanford. Liberty of Bakersfield, who we've seen their struggles for the most part this year, but didn't look like it struggled against San Joaquin Memorial last week. But Hanford is a much different beast than what San Joaquin Memorial was. This could be a pretty fascinating game in Hanford tonight.
I don't have a real good feel on this game, Phil, to be honest.
Yeah.
I could see it going either way. Hanford's in a good position, right? Home field, Liberty, we thought after the first five or six games, they were, you know, dead in the water, but they've played some really good football the last couple of weeks. Remember, Central East, before their bye week, before track began, they traveled down there, and Liberty looked really bad those first four games, and Central East barely won 35-33 in that one. So, you know, that's the offense for Hanford is going to have to be clicking, and they're going to have to hit because Bakersfield's run game has really improved.
more weather potential too. Like, yes. I want to go with the asterisks, and I keep these all in my back of my mind. I'm like, does the weather affect one of these teams that is that quick hitting, like Hanford team that,
right,
you know, is like good footing and being able to make guys miss? Is that really going to be able? Are they going to be able to do that? Snapping the football, they had issues last time we saw them with snapping the football. It's not a given there as well.
And I think I said Bakersfield. I obviously meant Liberty Bakersfield.
Liberty of Bakersfield. Yeah. To D2. Four matchups in this one tonight. Tulare Union, Kingsburg. You got Arroyo Grande hosting Garces Memorial. You got Redwood and San Luis Obispo. You got Bakersfield Christian, CVC. Of those four, what's the one you are most excited about tonight?
Oh, gosh. Most I'm excited about? Well, right? I'm a Kingsburg Viking fan. There's no doubt about that. That'd be a good win for the Vikings on the road against Tulare. CVC, I think their seven straight trips to a Central Section title game might be over tonight. We've seen Bakersfield, I think, this weather definitely favors the Drillers.
Is there more of a favor of having the home field and then having the rain down there, like for Bakersfield, out of anybody?
No, that's a great advantage. That's a great advantage. Yeah, I think the top seeds all survive. But you're all over Arroyo Grande. You're a huge fan of
them. I think they've got some interesting avenues moving forward with what they got. Garces having to go out there to Arroyo Grande. That's going to be tough for them on the flip side there. I've been paying attention to what they've been able to do. Their resume speaks for itself. 62 points. I think they're one of few teams, maybe I think the only team, to put up 60.
And you like the old St. Joseph win that they had?
Good win. St. Joe's, you know, I would say the final score wasn't indicative of how close St. Joe's kept it with Clovis West last week in terms of it.
So. 7-7 tied. And then
yeah, it was close. It was close for a while. Going to D3, Shafter hosting Washington Union. I got upset alert on that one. Golden West and Kennedy tonight. I think we're fascinated in that one. Porterville Independence. How about Kerman out at Wasco? Whew. What excites you about the D3 tonight?
All of them.
There's not a bad matchup in that one.
Absolutely. Our friend Trevor Horn is going to be at that Independence game. Where are they playing? Independence?
They're at Porterville.
At Porterville, yeah. There's going to be lots of points, I think, all over the scoreboard in that bracket. Hey, a lot of people are pointing to Kennedy as coming out as the eventual champion in that one. So keep an eye on that one. But that Kennedy-Golden West game.
Kennedy, woo! Very 63 points last week for Kennedy. They're Pats of Robles, so I think they may have the high mark in terms of scoring. But you mentioned it, two very different style of play. But one might, if you think weather-wise tonight, once again,
Advantage Kennedy
tonight, if we're going to pay attention to it. Does Union upset Shafter? I think that, you know, we've heard the injury stuff with Shafter.
Yeah.
Is there a chance with Union tonight going on the road?
I think there is. Shafter's defense has been a little bit of an Achilles heel for them all season. Washington Union has athletes.
They got a good running back out there. I think Jarrell Albert's been a name I've been seeing pop up, and a couple of other guys too.
Yeah, I've seen some other highlights on our local stations. I would not be surprised, to be honest, if Washington Union puts up a good fight against Shafter.
Any chance for Kerman on the road?
Kerman has that magic to them.
Yeah.
The run that they made 2 years ago before winning it all last year was phenomenal. Like, literally trying to run out the clock and go to overtime in one game, and they scored like a 70-yard touchdown on the last play to win. I mean, just crazy stuff happens in Kerman's favor. So I wouldn't be surprised if they came away with the win, but it's gonna be tough.
D4, you got four teams coming off the bye. Rust potential on any of these four seeds. Templeton's one of them. They got Kalinga. You've got North hosting Roosevelt tonight. You got McLean hosting Dos Palos, and you've got Emmanuel hosting Nabomo. Which team is on upset alert tonight, do you feel, Paul?
Well, I hate to put this out there, but I'm looking at that 7-2 game.
Nabomo
and Emmanuel, and here's the reason why. Again, you're all over AG, right? We know AG beat St. Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at it, Nabomo beat Arroyo Grande.
Wow.
They did.
They got a good win.
They got a great win. But I think the style matchup really does favor Emmanuel, a running style, kind of a Kennedy-type game, Buchanan. But, I mean, lots of good games in D4. I think I'm high on McLean this year. I just think they have not been challenged, I'll be honest. They haven't had a close game yet this year. But, man, if both those teams win, talk about Emmanuel and McLean, that's going to be a banger of a game at County Line Stadium next week. Templeton, upset alert.
Against Kalinga.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, keep an eye on that one. Kalinga, defending champs, beat Shafter in that classic game last year in that bracket by 1 point. So I wouldn't be surprised if that one's an upset.
We'll roll down to D5. You've got Liberty Abadera, the one seed, hosting Morro Bay tonight. You've got Bishop Union hosting Cabrillo. West has Chowchilla tonight. How about Reedley at Woodlake tonight?
Fun fact about that. So Woodlake was the only field that I saw, at least on Twitter, that had covered their field. So
really?
The field's going to be in good shape. I saw a picture of it. It was posted by the principal at Woodlake High. They covered their field.
Okay.
So the field's going to be in good shape at Woodlake tonight.
Okay. And maybe that's good for both teams. I know Reedley runs the quarterback a lot. Will Bacon's back out there, one of the student athletes of the week. It could be a fascinating chess match between those two teams. I've liked Liberty in this bracket.
I know you
all
do.
All the time.
Liberty or the field, right, to begin the bracket.
Liberty or the field right now in terms of that. And then we'll just give a shout-out to the D6 crews down there. Minaret's got Mendota tonight. We've got Boron versus Kern Valley. We've got Foothill versus Miramonte. Fireball on the road to Orosi.
That's a good game.
That's going to be a fun one.
That's going to be a fun one. Yeah.
Out there as well. Did I not give the 8-man shout-out as well?
Christian is playing Layton.
Yeah, they got Layton.
9-0 against 10-0.
Mammoth is out at Emmanuel Christian, which I believe Emmanuel Christian
is
California
way down there.
City, right? It's like out there in the desert.
It's way down there. Way that way.
Not the Emmanuel thing. Like.
And Mammoth from Reedley, because they played them in the volleyball playoffs in the Central Section Championship game. It was a 6-hour drive from Reedley.
Wow. Exciting stuff tonight, Paul.
Great.
Do you think the rain is the big storyline tonight?
It might be.
We'll see.
Right? Like when the ball is kicked off, and I know exactly what Coach Hill is going to say. Weather doesn't matter, right? Forget the weather. No one's making excuses, right? Either way. So, right, once the ball is kicked off, it's going to be football. It's going to be whoever doesn't turn the football over, field possession, makes plays, all those things that it takes to win football games.
Certainly. Paul, we're excited to call the game tonight. Can't wait for you, me, and Pat Hill at La Monica Stadium tonight. I'm sure you're bringing the snacks.
I got the little
– Coach needs the snack.
Yep, the place where I get my Carmel Bugles Coach Hill and a bag of M&M's.
Yeah.
It's a lock.
Pat talks about how much it's the only time he gets to really
grub out
a little bit before.
So don't tell my wife.
Yeah, okay. Mrs. Hill, hopefully she's not listening right now. All right, Pat, appreciate it. All right, Paul.
Got Pat on the brain.
I know, Pat on the brain. Paul, appreciate it as always. We'll see you later tonight. We'll be bundled up in that press box.
It's going to be fun.
Can't wait for it. All right, Paul Metters here on Behind the Bench. Let's take a break. When we come back, we will talk Fresno State football, what to expect with one last day before a big game tomorrow, a must-win game. We'll have that next on 1430 ESPN. To Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. So big game this weekend for the Fresno State Bulldogs as we now shift our focus to that. Big thanks to Paul Metters for joining us in the last segment. It is win or go home. It is playoff season now, I would say, for the Bulldogs here. If that's the mentality that we're going to adopt for this Fresno State side, then I think that is the apt one to go with. And maybe that changes the math of how this team plays these games in terms of the desperation side of it. I don't know if they've totally adopted that mentality. Maybe they did when they played Boise, and that's where the messaging has been from Coach Entz and the crew. But I got to imagine that with backs against this wall that the Bulldogs are against in terms of what they're facing, maybe there is a better version of them moving forward. This game against Wyoming feels like it leans towards the Bulldogs' favor, of course, with how both of these teams are shaped up. Both teams are very strong and defensive side. The Bulldogs generate a lot of turnovers. Both teams very successful at getting teams off the football field without any points. And then on the flip side, both teams, I would say, equally turn the ball over a lot on the offensive side. However, you just go to the equal if you just go down the list of things that both teams do, you feel like the run game favors a lot more towards the Fresno State side, and that is just where the matchup is that I think I'm looking to most on Saturday that's going to mean the most. How effectively can Fresno State run the ball against Wyoming? I don't know if there's any other aspects of the game that matter to it, because it feels like both teams are pretty equal in that side, but that feels like the biggest disparity. What do you guys feel in terms of your outlook of the game tomorrow for the Bulldogs?
I think it's kind of frustrating a little bit when your entire team lives and dies by the running game.
Yeah.
And I wish there was a little bit of multiplicity in terms of what we could do on offense, but that's just how this team is built. And, you know, if it's built like that, well, you got to just go out there and win your trenches battle. That offensive line got to go out there and beat the Wyoming defensive line and be more physical than them, as we've said over the last week. And the running game, you know, that's the strength of Fresno State, and that's where they're going to have to get these points out of, because Carson Conklin, until he does show me that he can consistently throw the football to all these guys in terms of the receiver room, I have to just hope that the running game is going to be the way that they win the game.
Consistently throwing the football in a rainstorm.
Yeah, that's not what you want to do.
That's not ideal of what you're looking for in a game like this tomorrow. If we are going to just have, I don't know if it's monsoon-like conditions, but it ain't going to be fun tomorrow.
True.
From what we have been seeing. And so, Chloe, I got to imagine, is this just a survive and advance game for the Bulldogs? They would gladly take 6-0 and get out of this stadium with a win and keep things moving. I got to imagine that's kind of the mentality of both coaching staffs going into this game.
Yeah, for sure. And I know I was talking to you guys before, and I was like, it's unpredictable at this point. Like, I feel like Fresno's going into games that, like, we expect them to win and they don't, or games that we don't favor them and they're winning. So I feel like everyone's just like wants, again, 6-0 and let's leave. But it's just, we're not used to these conditions here in the Valley.
Definitely
this is
not nothing
like what we're used to. And you can't prepare for this. Like, you can't. So it's really, and every single game has come down to the running game. And now we're going to have a soaking wet field. It's just going to be a disaster. So I think everyone's kind of entering with their fingers crossed and just hoping that we can get out of here with a win and have a chance at moving forward after this.
I think style points do not matter Saturday. It is quite simply do not matter. It is, I think of, like, you remember, like, the extreme game plans that would come out. Like, I always think of the Bill Belichick game against Buffalo when it was crazy windy and he just decided to just make the game what it was and turned it into, I think it was like a 7-0 victory over Buffalo or something like that. I can't quite remember how it was, but it was just basically like, we're going to just
chew the clock
yeah, and just nickel and dime you to death, and we are going to play the field position as best as we possibly can, and we are going to wait till you make a mistake. Wyoming can make mistakes. That's why they are 4-5 and 2-3 in the Mountain West. And that's something you can rely on. And a team that not only makes mistakes, but Fresno State is good at making you make mistakes as well. And I think on the defensive side perspective solely. And I quite simply think that's where the coaching staff banks on. And I quite simply think that it is a crouching tiger laying in the grass, waiting for the time to pounce. And that is what the Bulldogs will be doing tomorrow in terms of the football game. They will not press the issue and try to find points early in any sense of the term. If they get points early, great. That's fantastic. But we're not going to risk turnovers. We're not going to risk flipping the field because we want to score. We are going to solely focus on the benefit of making sure Wyoming has the most difficult path to scoring points as much as possible.
Yeah, and that's why I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. You know, this is the Fresno State, I think they're like second in terms of effectiveness and defense, and then Wyoming is third. And so you're going to have two tough defenses going at it. And I've been harping on this thing for the entire week. It's going to be the big plays, and which team has the best big play creators? I think it's Fresno State. And that's why, as close as it is going to be, I think the Bulldogs will be able to pull it out.
I just hope the fans understand what we're going to be watching tomorrow.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the other thing of it. I need fans to recognize and understand we are not in a situation where we are trying to win style points, and you don't think that if they don't beat this Wyoming team by 30 that you think this is a bad team.
I would hate boos.
Yeah.
If it's a close game like that and people are just like, oh, we're not seeing anything. And that's
this team's trash. And right. This team's, like a typical online fodder we see all the time from this fan base. And it's just like, folks, the goal is to win football games, right? The goal is to win football games, right? You got to get through this three-game stretch, and this is the first tall task for it. And you got two opponents tomorrow. You've got Wyoming, and you've got the weather. It's going to be fascinating to watch. Bulldogs are a 3.5-point favorite, and let's go into our daily spread segment here now, because we're going to go through our picks and predictions and all that stuff through the Mountain West. I haven't had a chance to go through the Mountain West Lake just quite yet. Daily spread brought to you by Chichancey Gold Resort and Casino. If you're not trying your luck with your teams, try your luck up the mountain with Chichancey Gold Resort and Casino today. Maybe not a bad place to hang out in all this weather this weekend. Fresno State, 3.5-point favorites at home against Wyoming. The total, wow. I've never seen it this low at a Fresno State game. 40.5. They are giving you the points here, 40.5. And I think I'd go under. And I think Fresno State would cover. I wrote in my prediction, I think 20-3 is the score, and it's 20-3 based off of 3 touchdowns and a missed extra point, not 2 field goals. We will miss an extra point because of the rain and cause the crazy weather. I got 20-3 Fresno State wins tomorrow. Go to Tambier, and then we'll go to Chloe here. What do we got for Fresno State tomorrow?
I think Fresno State covers, but I think they cover by 0.5. I think they win 17-13. I think both teams will be able to find the end zone, but I think when we get into this, I think this first half is going to be a slog, and the third quarter is kind of going to be where we find something. I would not be surprised if we go into this second half and the score is like 6-6,
yeah,
or 3-3. So, yeah, 17-13 Bulldogs.
Chloe, what do you got?
I'm going to say 14-6 Bulldogs. Okay. I don't know. I'll give Wyoming a little bit of a chance. I'll give them a touchdown there. But my whole idea with the game is get the least amount of injuries possible and get out of there as soon as possible.
I think there's throws that Conklin can make tomorrow, even with the rain. It's easy rollouts, easy stuff in the middle. The tight ends are going to have to matter. They get a tight end back, I think, for the Bulldogs back from injury. The name escapes me. But there's a tight end that hasn't played since, I think, like the Kansas game, and they're going to have him back. So another weapon is added to it. I hear Harold Duvall's going to get a little more play time now.
Yeah.
So your guy. So we may see him play an important role in this football game. So I don't think it's always like totally lost out of the pass game tomorrow. I think there are easy throws you can make in the rain. It's just a matter of seeing it convert.
And the play action game is going to be uber important, because yep, you can't just expect yourself to get 4 yards a carry and just go all the way down. You're going to have to see a passing game. You're going to have to see him throw for more than 40 yards passing, which like 35.
35 to 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so not even 40. I wonder what passing number he has to get to give Fresno or just fans confidence that we can easily
win
this
game tomorrow. I'd be happy with 120.
I think if he goes over 100,
yeah,
I think I'd be
okay. I'd be like, there's something there with what, yeah, considering the elements are of this football game. He'll need to do more against Utah State.
Yeah, and
he'll need to do more against
San Jose State.
Yeah.
In the San Jose State game, you're going to have to score points, because that's literally the number one offense in terms of yards per game.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to show the passing game eventually. So
certainly. Yeah. Let's go to the other Mountain West games, and I'll run through them quickly. We'll do some picks here. Air Force is at UConn in a non-conference game. UConn is a 7.5-point favorite. How about 64.5 as you're over-under? Air Force needs to win out to be bowl eligible. They're 3-6. UConn 7-3. I have not watched UConn football this year. I don't have a good gauge on it.
Better than the yesteryears of the 0-12 UConn.
I would just say, from my general consensus of what I've seen from Air Force, anyone can score on Air Force. So I would roll UConn here, and I think they would cover.
I got the UConn win as well.
Yeah.
UConn.
Colorado State at New Mexico. 14.5-point favorite at home against on the spread in Albuquerque. 53.5 is your over under. New Mexico, very good team. Colorado State, just in turmoil. I would say New Mexico wins and covers there. I don't see a reason why they would lose this game tomorrow.
I think New Mexico wins, but I think it gives even more credence to how bad that loss to Colorado State was.
Confound.
So, yeah. So I think New Mexico wins this because they got to keep their Mountain West Championship hopes alive.
What do you got, Chloe?
14.5 seems fair. So yeah, I'll take New Mexico.
All right. San Jose State at Nevada. San Jose State needs 3 wins to get bowl eligible. My dad is so concerned about the idea that San Jose State's going to be 5-6 at the end of the year, and that's going to be their Super Bowl against Fresno State to get to a bowl game. I'd love to see them lose here. No offense, Chloe, because then we wouldn't have that worry. But Nevada has been horrible this year, and all things considering with football, just not a good football team. San Jose State, 9.5-point favorite. I would see them winning on the road here. I think the Spartans get it done winning, and I'll think they'll cover, too, over Nevada.
Yep, pretty easy. San Jose State win. I think it'll be close in the first couple of quarters, but San Jose State's going to pull away.
Yeah.
If San Jose State doesn't win this game,
I'm just renounce your fandom at that point.
So please give me San Jose.
We're going to get you Bulldog gear that you'll have to wear.
I still don't own it.
Yeah, you need to get your Bulldog gear.
We'll get a Judge jersey.
I know. I'm not signing your internship thing until you get Bulldog gear. How about that? Next up, Utah State at UNLV. Utah State 5-4. They've been very frisky as a team offensively. I think this is an underrated game. UNLV, man, they really didn't show up against New Mexico at home. I think Utah State has a real good chance of winning this game. UNLV's favored by 6.5. I think there's the upset potential here, and I think I might go with it. I think Utah State can beat UNLV on the road, and I'll go with it there.
You stole my hot take, I guess.
Ooh.
I think Utah State wins this game as well. You look at their wins, they only beat Air Force by 3. The early stretch of games, if you remember, they beat Idaho State by a touchdown. Yeah. I just feel like this has just been kind of a middling team. I think UNLV's hopes kind of get dashed this weekend, and Utah State wins this one.
There you go.
That's crazy. I also had Utah State.
Wow,
my
we're
hot
all there.
Take.
So the Rebels are going to win.
So, yeah, well, I'll take Utah.
And then finally, this one obviously matters a whole lot. Boise State at San Diego State. I think a lot of people are going to be on their phones at this Fresno State game paying attention to what that score will look like. San Diego State, just a game that just went downhill as quickly as it could against Hawaii. We know how tough the islands are. Boise State, who knows what this team will look like. It's amazing that on the ESPN it shows that tickets are as low as $9 for a game that could mean so much into the Mountain West. San Diego State, 1.5 favorite, 41.5 is the over-under. They do not think points will be scored in this football game. I don't know if they will be either. I will go with San Diego State winning this game. I believe that's probably the right way to go until Boise's, I'm assuming their backup quarterback who played against Fresno is in this game. Unless he shows something considerably different than what we saw against Fresno, San Diego State's going to give him fits all night long. San Diego State's going to win.
Yeah, San Diego State is a top 5 defense in FBS right now, and I do not think that Boise State will score more points than they did against Fresno State. I think they go 6 and under, and I think San Diego State absolutely blows them out. I'm going to probably say like a 3-touchdown win for them, 27-6.
Wow.
I actually really enjoy Boise State football as much as I should it.
I do too when they lose.
But I also know that San Jose State is playing San Diego next weekend. So Boise, please win this game. I need San Diego to take this loss going into next weekend.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you want angry San Diego State 2 losses in a row going up against your Spartans. But I guess to each their own. In that sense of it. But anyways, should be, I think this is a fascinating Mountain West slate for a couple of games there, that Utah State, UNLV, San Diego, Boise. Can't wait to see what it all plays out to. But Bulldogs got to take care of business at home for it all to matter. All right, we'll take a break. We'll wrap up the show next here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. I'll bring this story on air because I just find it funny. I have friends that just don't watch sports, and that's fine. I like having friends that don't watch sports and don't know anything about sports, and it's funny to continue to, like, see them go through this world trying to understand sports because they know it is somewhat relevant to the pop culture area, and let's be fair, might be the only spot in the world where you can get away from some stuff. I'm not saying anything. Anyways, I just got a message from one of my friends, one of my buddies' wives, saying, my brother is looking into sports betting. What are your thoughts on Travis Kelce against the Broncos? Just out of nowhere. And I just, it's a question that I cannot quite answer because I don't know what the context of anything is. And it's just funny. It's just a funny question to me. But then again, I could probably look like a fool by doing this when you know, you ask me about like how much flour I need in a recipe of some sort because I just don't know how to bake or whatever, anything. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not an expert in some things, and that's fair. People are experts in others, but I find it funny. By the way, I have an update in the follow-up. Will Travis Kelce go over or under 44 receiving yards? So I think that's a low number.
That is a low number.
That's a really low number.
Broncos defense is really good.
I think if the Chiefs win, that needs to go over. And I think the Chiefs will win.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go over.
This is not betting advice.
This is not betting advice, but I'm messaging them now. I'm going to say over, and if it hits, I feel great. And if it doesn't...
Well, if it hits, you need to, you know, get some money from them.
Yeah, I need a little cut, right?
Exactly.
A little cut. That's how it works, right?
Totally.
I need to be doing more of that stuff anyway. Maybe I don't.
No.
Don't get caught up in the mafia, man.
No, hey. I'm not a... Not a... What's his name?
Chauncey Phillips?
Terry Rozier.
Oh, Terry Rozier.
Yeah. How's that investigation going? Anyways, we got the sports weekend coming up, and a reminder of our schedule before we... of what's we got coming up this weekend. We've got, of course, tonight, Friday Night Lights Playoff Edition, Clovis and Clovis West, 6:30 pregame, 7 p.m. kickoff at Lobotica. Be sure to tune in right here on 1430. Lakers and Pelicans pregame going right now over on 790. That tip-off is happening in about 9 minutes. It's an NBA Cup game. So it matters in some people's eyes. Some people's eyes it doesn't. I don't know. Whatever you float your boat. Saturday, Central Valley Sports Report with Paul Minters, 10 a.m. to noon, live from First String Sports. And that's going to be on 1430. Following that, it'll be the Lakers in the Bucks in Milwaukee. That's a 4:45 pregame with a 5 p.m. tip-off there. 790. Hey, we got some college football courtesy of our ESPN folks. USC and Iowa. A lot of people are mad that game's buried on Big Ten Network this weekend.
Shouldn't have left the Pac-12.
So, but because I guess the Big Ten Network, there's an obligation that every team needs to be on the Big Ten Network for two games, and this was the game they decided that both teams would need to be on there. So ranked USC versus ranked Iowa gets subjugated to that. So if you want to listen to it, it's on 790. Sharks and Kraken from Seattle is also on 790 on Saturday, 6:30 pregame with 7 p.m. puck drop. And then Sunday, we'll have Niners-Cardinals, 12 p.m. pregame with a 1 p.m. Kickoff. Hey, reminder, the Niners aren't being played locally television-wise. So the only chance you can listen to the Niners in any capacity here in the Central Valley is right here on 1430. So Rams-Seahawks is actually the local game on Fox on Sunday. That's at 790. It'll be a pregame of 12 p.m. with a kickoff at 105. And then we'll have Lions-Eagles Sunday night before we return on Monday with another edition of Behind the Bench. All right, let's do a what are we watching this weekend? I'll start with Chloe. Why not? Chloe, what are we watching this weekend in sports?
Obviously that Niners game and then that San Jose State game.
Oh, boy.
But I do want to make a small shout-out to everyone. Make sure you're following 1430 ESPN Fresno because you've heard it for the past 2 weeks. There is a poll going out Monday morning.
Oh, boy.
Over who's the best peanut gallery. And some fun action on there.
This better tonight. Be a fair poll and very fair.
It will be
premised
very fair.
Question.
That's why I've not said anything tonight.
Okay.
And then also we have all of our highlights from tonight, so make sure you're checking in on there.
Absolutely. Tanvir, what are you watching this weekend?
UFC 322, Makhachev versus JDM. That is going to be one hell of a card. I'm also looking at some World Cup qualifiers. We have a little bit over a half of the teams already qualified, but this November window is probably going to see the last couple of teams, especially from Europe and North America and Africa and Asia, all qualify. So that's something I'm looking forward to watching. And then obviously 49ers versus Cardinals, wherever I can watch it. I will try and keep up with it as well, but I am so excited for that Rams-Seahawks game. I think, regardless of my beef with both of those teams, I just am excited for some good football, and I think there's going to be some fireworks in that one. So,
hey, we had some breaking news while we were in the break. ESPN has been restored. They came to an agreement. Disney, ABC, ESPN restored to YouTube TV, and bless up, because I get a chance before this Fresno State game to watch a little Texas-Georgia.
Yes.
On ABC.
Yes.
On my YouTube TV side. So that might be one I'm paying attention to before I head out to the stadium as well. Some great college football. I finally get to watch game day again. I have a little Oklahoma-Alabama tomorrow as well.
You got tired of Fox Sunday?
I disconnected from college football the last couple of weeks. Like, I literally just totally.
Me too.
I've kind of just was like, all right, I got nothing. I'll just watch something else. It was fine.
And I love that Monday Night Football is returning, and it's Cowboys versus Raiders.
Just in time. Jerry made the call. You know he did. You know Jerry Jones made the call.
Yeah, totally. Sure.
All right, guys. Well, that's about it. I appreciate you guys on the show. Great job. And we'll see you over at La Monica tonight. Should be a fun game.
We appreciate you.
Yes. We will see the rest of you all over there. Reminder, tune in pregame at 6:30. Kickoff at 7. Till then, Behind the Bench returns on Monday. We'll see you then.